Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is indeed a shout-out Friday from the 817. Can we get a shout-out for the future stepdaughter, Kara, that's a junior, and if it's Kara, I apologize, in high school, and Harvard is already interested in her. You hear that, everybody? 16-year-old.
Harvard.
Already getting scouted out by Harvard. What have you done with your life? I'm talking to myself as well.
You know, they call it the Stanford of the West.
I don't. Is that?
Where's Harvard at?
Yeah, and Harvard is on the East Coast. So wouldn't Stanford be the Harvard of the West?
Sounds good to me.
All right. I'm going to regret this. So. I'm going to go to Corey Majors. He said go to him. Now I really don't know if I think this was a good idea.
Actually, it might not be because I think this fits perfectly in Forgiveness Friday.
Okay.
Hit the music, Alec. The rumors are true, evidently, Kevin. Grater's ice cream. Have you ever had Grater's ice cream?
I don't think so.
You ever had Grater's ice cream?
Yeah.
It's really good. My father-in-law has gotten, like, he got a blueberry pie, Grater's ice cream. It was awesome. I'd never, like, I don't typically go, I need more of this ice cream, but that one was that good. Churn and bake, I feel like that a lot of times, too. Grater's ice cream and Skyline Chili are teaming up for a new polarizing treat.
No.
The two iconic Cincinnati chains, Skyline Spice Ice Cream flavor, says that they are now working with Skyline Chili to create the Skyline Spice Ice Cream flavor. And I've had Skyline Chili. It has very strong tones of currant in it. And like, it doesn't taste like a Texas-based chili at all, by any means. I even threw it on the spaghetti the way they told me to, with lots of cheese. I understood why they said lots of cheese. The chili just wasn't great.
Okay.
So now they're saying they're going to make a ice cream that tastes like Skyline Chili.
No.
Hold on. Here's the question. But will the new eyebrow-raising flavor have any meat, mustard, or cheese? Here's everything you need to know. And then I haven't read the rest of it. So I'll have to read that, Kevin.
Okay.
I really need bullet points on stuff like this.
All right. You know? So Corey needs to be thrown into Forgiveness Friday for not reading through all of the copies.
It looks like J.D. Vance has weighed in on it. And it looks like he says Trump will stop this. So.
Okay. Well, you just guaranteed that half the people will now disown it and half the people give or take. We'll try it out and be like, this is
chili spices, crunchy oyster crackers, and sheds of cheese swirled throughout the daring fusion of flavor.
No, that is not an ice cream. You can put it, just because you can put something in a bowl doesn't mean it's the same. All right.
Crackers,
chili
and
flavor.
Cheese?
Yeah, come on. What are we doing?
Oh, all no. Right. Good luck, everybody.
Let's go to Mr. Mitsuhara. Now, that's the fella who is facing a recommended 57-month prison sentence. Former interpreter for Shohei Ohtani. I guess there was a phone call identifying him as Shohei Ohtani. And then you get word, because like you can listen to this phone call, and then you find out that there are like at least 25 different recordings of Mitsuhara calling and saying that he's Shohei Ohtani and he needs to withdraw. Like, this specific one, I think, was $200,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you know, listen to all the evidence. That just, that first bit of evidence, that feels, that feels pretty bad.
Pretty strong one right there.
Absolutely.
He can definitely ask for forgiveness.
Okay.
Is it granted? I'll let
you
be the decider.
Once you do the time.
Then you do the crime.
Okay. No, no.
After you've done the time, do the crime again to get back on your feet.
That is, have you never seen A prison movie?
When you've been in prison, it's difficult to get a job after. So you have to do another job in order you got to do another caper.
You know what? I know you're having some fun with it. Do I think it's fair to talk about how slowly we let people in from the prison system back into regular society? I think there's a fair point in there.
Thank you.
But not the rest of it.
Okay.
All right. Ichiro Suzuki, he wants to forgive. All right.
Mike?
Not Mike. I mean,
he's furious that Mike like struck him out once.
Look, Mike probably needs forgiveness from a lot of people.
Like that guy.
So Ichiro said he wants to invite the lone rider who left him off the Hall of Fame ballot to, quote, have a drink together and a good chat. Yeah. All right.
Why the F did you leave me off this list?
All right.
That's the first question he's going to ask.
Because on the surface, this feels like a really cool opportunity. Go drink a beer with Ichiro. But this is a trap, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a camera that jumps out and was like, ha-ha, surprise. Well, you know how the rest goes.
He's going to hand him a little, I don't know. He said drink, so I don't know if it's a beer or if it's a little shot glass. I don't know exactly what it's going to be. But I would ask to exchange. I'd say, here, you have this one. I'll drink yours. And then see if he drinks that one. Because otherwise, he might be trying to poison me or he could put a truth serum in me.
Do you think that Ichiro will feel any better if this guy is like the Baseball Hall of Fame hater and he's like, oh, that's right, I'd have vote for Ken Griffey, Ty Cobb, Tom Seaver, Nolan Ryan.
He's the one guy.
I'd have vote for none of those people on the first ballot.
I was sick the day they asked for Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, and he's like, I would have voted that down too. Do you think because here's the only explanation I can come up with, because I thought about this a lot. I always wonder if people look at the Hall of Fame votes of the past and they're like, hold on, Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, Hank Aaron, none of those people got in unanimous? Bull crap. I'm not voting you in. That's the only thing I could come up with. Would you go and have a beer with Ichiro if you were this person?
If I had a legitimate reason.
Okay.
And I was like bought in on it, I would go and tell him my piece. Just like you've always said, don't care who the president is.
Sure.
If I get invited, I'm getting there and I'm going to say my piece. Whatever it is.
That is my philosophy.
To that president. And hopefully, like that's the goal, right? The idea is he would listen.
Yep.
Whether or not he cares, a different story, but he would at least listen to what I had to say and go on about it. So yeah, I'd absolutely want to sit down and talk with Ichiro so that he understood what my voting was. Other than that, though, you're in the Hall of Fame, dude. Get over it. Move on. Enjoy life.
Tied for the second highest percentage in the history of Hall of Fame voting.
You're lucky you got in. Kenny Lofton should be in right now.
Ooh.
Andrew Jones should be in. Jones.
Ooh, spicy.
You're lucky you got in.
All right, Mike Florio's next up on the list for Forgiveness Friday.
And congratulations on being in, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Does Mike Florio deserve forgiveness for putting this trash out into the world yesterday? 1 year later, Rex Ryan could end up as the Dallas defensive coordinator. All right. And here's why I say trash. First of all, because I would be super against this. Second of all, I think there is no basis for this article whatsoever besides something that happened a year ago. And Rex Ryan, who definitely always tells the truth, said last year, you guys brought in a guy that was 29th in the league his last 2 years at Minnesota. This can go really bad for Dallas. And then he made the insinuations, if not flat out said, I could have fixed the Cowboys defense. But that being said, they couldn't pony up the money or I would have been there. First of all, I don't know if that's the case whatsoever. Second of all, based on what recent track record where you've been awful at managing defenses. So Mike Florio has said, hey, the Cowboys might need a defensive coordinator. You made something up last year. Hey, maybe he can be the coordinator.
That's the way to do it. That's how it's done.
That's terrible.
That is how it's done.
Plus, I guess I would just be really mad if Rex Ryan got this job because he's not good at this.
From the 817, Corey's right. You will need money once you get out of prison. From the 214, that's the whole storyline of the Ant-Man movie, Kevin, is that you need money when you get out of prison.
What did I tell you? I said that is a legitimate point.
What's
about
the quickest
how
way to get money?
Quickly, we accept people who have gotten out of prison back into society. I think that's a fair complaint.
Quickest way to get money out of prison? Pull off a heist. That's the that's how you do it.
He must die!
Can't just go invest. That's gonna work.
But if you're waiting for me for my If you're recommendation right now, for the day is, hey, did you get out of prison recently? Go do a heist. No, that is not my recommendation.
Fine. You want to keep them poor. I get it.
All right. Never mind. I was about to get into Ant-Man, and I'm not going to do any of that. All right. Let's go to the DraftKings network. This one's tough. Does the DraftKings network need forgiveness because they are not bringing back Trey Wingo?
Oh, man.
They're not bringing back Mike Golick or Mike Golick Jr.
What?
And they're going to stop doing in-house produced shows.
Really?
So it's not necessarily just a reflection of those people that are like, nope, we're done. We're not doing that anymore. We've had Trey Wingo on all season. You had an emotionally, like, really impactful conversation with him. He came back on for Peace-a-thon. I think he's great. And they're like, eh, we're not going
to
do those shows.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to seeing him in New Orleans. I'm interested to see what his approach is.
Maybe he still will be.
I thought it was really interesting. One day he posted a picture of his credential to an event, and it said ESPN, and then it said guest.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is weird. Being a guest of ESPN, but that stinks. They've gone through that. I've been very interested to see how them and FanDuel, like, how they manage these kinds of networks. Because who is it that has the Fox? Is that FanDuel now? FanDuel TV?
I think so.
Southwest or whatever.
They bought Bally.
A lot of the people that are there are kind of like, we're just kind of waiting to see what our next move is. We don't really know what that move is right now. And I was very curious on where DraftKings, how are they utilizing it? What are they pushing whenever they're selling to people? Is it just gambling money? And that's an easy way to approach it. But that's sad. I really like Trey Wingo a lot.
Now this one, Alec, I'm going to need some clarification. See if we can get to the bottom of this. I was actually watching this match last night because I know how to party at about 11 o'clock. Alexander Zverev was playing Novak Djokovic. First set was really, really good, but you could tell Djokovic was hurt. He had skipped a couple of training sessions the last couple of days, and the thought was that he might not even play in the match. It goes to a tiebreaker, and I think it was 8-6 in the tiebreak. If I'm off about that, I apologize. But on the last point, Djokovic hits the ball right into the net and immediately reaches his hand out, and he's like, I'm done. And so, Corey, you told me in the aftermath, because that he said exactly what I thought must have been the case. Going in that tiebreak, he's like, all right, this first set took an hour and 20 minutes. If I win this set, I'll keep playing.
Yeah.
But if not, dude, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, he had decided he was already physically done. He couldn't do it anymore.
So do you want Novak Djokovic to ask for forgiveness, or do you want the Australian Open fans to ask for forgiveness? Because they were all shocked. And then they started to boo and whistle and all this stuff at him. And then it was actually Zverev in his victory interview that said, hey, man, don't boo Djokovic. I know you guys paid a lot. I thought it was a really good interview because he goes, I know you guys paid a lot of money for these tickets and like you wanted to see an epic match. And he goes, he's really hurt. Like, and if he's walking off the court in the semifinals, like, he's got to be like legit pretty hurt. And then the interviewer's like, oh, did you think he was hurt in the first set? And Zverev's like, not really. I mean, I thought we played a really high level first set. I thought he played really well.
Then he wore down.
So, like, is it on the fans for, hey, don't boo this guy? It's the semifinal. If it was the second round or the first round and you paid premium to go see one of the premium players and you're like, bull crap. He just didn't want to finish out the tournament. It's the semifinal. You don't think he was like, hey, let's figure out a way to tape this up and win two more matches to get 25 majors.
You can listen whenever you are in that kind of point, like you can fight through it. I expect him to fight through it, but you get swept up in emotion when you're at an event and all of a sudden everybody's booing, right? I think that's what happened here. Everybody got swept up in the emotion of the boo and they decided to go along with it, not realizing what he was actually dealing with.
Alec, is it Djokovic? Is it the Aussie Open fans? Who needs to ask for forgiveness in this situation?
He's usually not a person that I like to give the benefit of the doubt in any of these situations, but fair. I will give it to him this time because I don't like when people try to make it about them in that situation, you know, because like you said, he's been this high level of a competitor for so long that if he's just giving up then there's something wrong.
And he just beat Carlos Alcaraz in like a 4 hour or a four set really long match. And the thought is that he got hurt for real.
He's considering real retirement.
Yes.
Like that's a reality.
He's just been doing this for a long time. Like, you know, sometimes it catches up to you and you got to realize if I keep doing this, it's probably not going to end well for me physically. So let me just go ahead and call it a day.
And I appreciate Zverev going out there not saying, this is dope as hell. Are you serious? Like, I appreciate that he goes, don't boo Djokovic. He's won this tournament twice with major injuries instead of being like, oh, thank God. Like, that first set was really tough, and I won a tiebreaker, but who the hell knows? Now I get to a walkover the rest of the way to go to the final?
Yeah, that's not bad.
This is fantastic. I'm sure he feels bad for Joker, but at the same point, he's like, I mean, but that's okay. And then finally, this probably isn't their fault. Look, you guys on the fan text might need to ask forgiveness for giving all these suggestions about what to do when you get out of prison if you can't get a more conventional job. And they're all paths that will get you sent back to jail.
Like, name one thing that'll get you sent back to jail.
No, I do not want to encourage people to do this.
I'm not saying knock off a liquor store, all right? I'm saying pull off a real heist. Something that's going to give you some generational money. So that you don't have to. So even if you do get caught, you can use that money to buy a good lawyer so you don't go to prison.
Wait.
I don't know how this justice system works, by the way.
Do you think you said you pull off the heist but get caught?
If you get caught.
And then have the money for the lawyer. Where is that money coming from? You got caught.
The money you stole.
You just said you got caught.
You got caught afterwards, but you have the money in an offshore account somewhere. Like we've seen how this works. I know this is. Look, don't ask me though. I'm not a robber. I haven't been there yet, so I don't really know. I'm just going based on what I've heard on the streets.
From who?
Yeah,
the streets.
No. Mm. Okay. Do the 2026 Hall of Fame candidates for Major League Baseball need to ask for forgiveness? The first time candidates. Here's part of your list:
Cole Hamels,
Ryan Braun, Cole Hamels, Alec Gordon, Shin-Soo Chu, Edwin Encarnacion, Gio Gonzalez, Howie Kendrick, Matt Kemp. Those are your first. These are the best ones.
Chu's the only one that deserves to be on there.
Shin-Soo Chu does not belong in the Hall of Fame.
Hater.
What a hater, dude. What a hater.
Do you think you tell
former
both,
Texas Rangers?
I know where he played. How many times was he an All-Star? Once.
He talked taxes with you.
I know. How many times was he an All-Star?
Seven in my heart.
No, he was not.
How many years did he play?
Like 15, and he was an All-Star like once or twice.
That's because he was so humble.
Yeah.
It's not how
he turned it down every time.
It's not how All-Star voting works.
You are an All-Star, and he was like, not this year. He was candidate for MVP twice.
How so?
1 year he finished 14th, and 1 year he finished 12th.
Is that?
It's top 15.
Sounds great to me.
Look, man, if you're going to say, hey, can we get another Texas Ranger in there? Kevin, I'm going for it, dude.
Okay.
I'm not going to fight against
it
like you.
Is he going to the Hall of Fame as a Texas Ranger? Never mind. I'm not getting involved in this conversation. No, I'm not doing it.
Is it going to be a Cleveland Guardian?
Let's talk about a former Texas Ranger. And have you ever won something super, super cool in your life?
Yes.
Let's talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Mahomes stepping up again, tries to throw. Light caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! Travis Kelce owning this game!
NFC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. NFC and AFC Championship games this weekend. Plus on the football front, if you missed it earlier, yes, in fact, Pete Carroll has agreed to a deal to coach the Raiders. It's a 3-year deal. So when we talked yesterday about the whispers that the Cowboys had talked with Pete Carroll, look, my theory remains Jerry was trying to buy some time because he knows that perhaps the fan base is not thrilled with the imminent hiring of Brian Schottenheimer. I want to throw another name out there. Then it feels like the Raiders kind of ruined his plan by immediately hiring Pete Carroll and killing any hope of that.
Yeah, my theory remains that he was wanting the Raiders job and used Jerry, and that leaked out that way. He used Jerry to leverage it to get done faster.
Now, that is very...
But I do like your... I like the idea that Jerry's sitting there, he's like, go! And he picks up his phone, he's like, get so-and-so on the phone.
You couldn't wait until Monday or Tuesday so we could ride this out? All right, a couple of other sports notes.
Get me the land, man.
Did you see that the Baltimore Orioles have jumped on the train that obviously like the Falcons, and there's been plenty of other teams that have done this now in terms of having more reasonably priced concession items?
I did see this.
I know that some of these you'll still be like $4 for that little bottled water that I can get that 24 pack for $12 is not reasonable. I hear what you're saying.
It's better than $7.
Exactly. And so they're going with, the Baltimore Orioles are going with $2.50 for peanuts, $3.50 for popcorn, $4 bottled water, $4 hot dog, and Wieners, $5 baby. Beers. This is another thing that...
Was that you that just said that?
That was Peyton. It was a drop. Here, listen.
Wow. Wieners, baby.
Okay, Peyton.
Man, now, Alec is prepared for whatever bizarre situation might pop
Peyton
up.
Peyton is an interesting fella.
He is. But I just like that this is taking more and more hold, and I kind of wish all ballparks and stadiums were like this.
Okay, here's the thing that I don't know. We did the two-pointer, four-pointer thing a while back, and we had that conversation, and eventually the numbers start to stack up at some point. When does the profit go up for these people?
So actually, I think that the Falcons...
Yes, that's the when I remember them first being the
in the first year... They saw such an increase in sales that their food division actually became more profitable despite the drop in prices.
So they saw the you say sales in quantity and the monetary value?
So I think their sales like year over year, I'm guesstimating here, but they went up like 70%.
Okay.
So they went up so much that it became more profitable than it was the year before, despite the fact that they slashed prices and everything like that, because the volume went up
more
so much.
More people decided, hey, I can actually afford that, and
exactly
went to the stadium knowing they were going to have that extra money.
Now, this is kind of a downer story, but I feel like we do need to update it because we did bring it up, I believe it was yesterday. Mariano Rivera and his wife have come out against the allegations that they, not that they condoned it, but essentially that they covered up reported sexual assault at their church and church camp. So the statement that came out to the USA Today, Mariano and Clara Rivera, that's his wife, do not tolerate child abuse of any kind, and allegations that they knew about or failed to act on reports of child abuse are completely false. All right, so the lawsuit, which seeks financial damages from the Rivera's alleged failure to act on the alleged incidents that were never reported to them, is full of inaccurate and misleading statements, which we have no doubt will not hold up in a court of law. So I just wanted to point out, because a lot of times the accusation gets the front page news, and then the denial or the verdict, or well, maybe not the verdict, but like the denial and stuff gets like further back in there. So this is about the time I think we brought it up yesterday. And I wanted to throw out that the Riveras, at least in their first statement, have come out and said, absolutely not. Not at the camp, not at the church. We deny all of this.
Okay.
All right. You want to move
Good
back to
them.
Happier things?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I know that is a jarring transition. So I'm going to give you something really happy. All right. We're going to go to cut number 8. This is a guy at I think it's a Nebraska basketball game, not a volleyball game. So there's a dude at a Nebraska volleyball game. He got selected for the putt for a Porsche contest on Wednesday night. You have to get a 94-foot putt. So essentially from one baseline to the other baseline. And there's this slot in a board, because you can't, like, they don't have it in the hole. Okay, whatever. You guys are
You're doing
jerks.
Great, man.
All right, so the Porsche is valued at about $74,000. We're going to go to cut number 8, and I want you to hear kind of some of the buildup, and then you can figure out if he made it or not.
He lines up a putt cross court for a new Porsche. He's got the line. It rolls smoothly down the court, breaking and gaining speed. It looks like it's a good line, and it's in! The Tiger Pump, and the biggest win of the night in Lincoln, Nebraska.
So he wins.
Did he make it or not?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. You said we could decide, so.
Okay, did you not think that the excitement from the crowd? I thought the excitement from the crowd.
When the guy said, and it's in.
Yeah, okay.
I felt pretty confident there.
So he wins a new Porsche, or Porsche, apparently, if you're fancy. So have any of you guys ever won something noteworthy? Not necessarily at a sporting event, because I think at a sporting event, the closest I got was like I was at a Frisco Rough Riders game and they selected me for like the trivia contest that was about movies. And I was really excited, aced it. Ended up using, one of the things I got was a gift card to a movie place. Me and my son Brandon ended up going there for spring break in 2020. When we were the only people in the theater, and I asked them and they said, nobody has been here. It's a ghost town, because we were all on the precipice of getting shut down by COVID.
Yeah.
So that's like the closest thing. Obviously, that doesn't come anywhere near a Porsche. Most people's answers probably won't.
I was at a Rangers game and they passed out these little slips of paper and it had a colored dot on it. And I won the race. I got a bottle of water from Ozark. It was one of the Ozark bottles of water. I don't know where I spent it. I don't know if I actually did use it, but I did win that day, Kevin. Here's actually what I've won that I think is pretty
cool. Can I just say something about that? I have always been of the opinion that they do not go to the next level with the coding of these coupons. And I feel confident that if you just showed up at your Chick-fil-A or McDonald's, or in this case, to get your Ozarka, that coupon gets honored, whether or not you're done on the race. What? That's just my theory.
When I was a kid, I won a cruise with the New Kids on the Block.
That's pretty awesome.
We went to the Bahamas and Disney World through one of those sweepstakes things. I eventually had the honor of, at the Super Bowl, telling Joey McIntyre about that cruise, in which he said he remembered going on that cruise.
Yes! Fun fact, Joey McIntyre also dressed up like an 18th century American revolutionary. And what he said to us was, do people on Radio Row not all dress up? And I was like, I mean, not really like that, but good on you, buddy.
That Christmas, I also won a go-kart through Food Lion, a sweepstakes through Food Lion. So I was on the grocery store sweepstakes binge right then.
Okay, man, this is super fun. For the 254, I won a Cowboys hat from y'all at B-Dubs. That was pretty cool. I won a coloring contest at the local McDonald's when I was like 8, which is the last time the Cowboys went to Super Bowl.
You ever see somebody win the coloring contest? You're like, mine was better.
Oh, for sure. I have to do that every day when Noah brings art home from school and be like, oh, it's so good. And I'm like, give me a break.
He can't even read and you're dunking on his coloring? Yeah,
that sucks. For a human, for a 2-year-old, it's pretty good, but what kind of standard do we have
here?
Maybe
art's not in his future.
From the 817. It is not. I want an autograph. My wife's going to be so mad about that.
Destroying his kid's art.
You know what? He's going to have more artistic talent than I do. That's what I'm going to go with. Maybe, hopefully, as much as his brother. Brandon is really talented at art. From the 817, I won an autographed Mike Modano jersey from a Subway.
That's awesome.
When I was young. From a drawing at Subway. So not like Subway, but like the Subway sandwich shop. This is awesome. From the 214, I hit 5 out of the 6 numbers in the Powerball and won $50,000.
Really?
That's super cool. Yeah,
see, I've never won more than like with the lottery. I think... $100 is maybe the most I've ever gotten. I've never been one of those big winners with lottery stuff.
That's the thing about the lottery, and that's how they get you. That $100 feels outsized to all of the money you've put in over the years to get to that point.
Yeah.
You totally disregard that. You're like, I just won $100. How much have you ever spent on lottery tickets?
$10,000.
Yeah, why don't you shut up? From the 817, I won a radio in school one time for attendance. I was 5, and I listened to an Owl City CD on repeat.
Owl City?
I won a PS.
I like to make myself believe.
From the 2-1, that is a good song. From the 214, I won a PS2 at the company Christmas party.
I did that once. At the company Christmas party, I had taken a date too. And so I won one of those TVs that had the VCR DVD player on it. had a VCR on it, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I was like, this is amazing. I have no clue where it is.
I thought we would never advance further technologically than when we figured out a way to either get that tiny portable TV or when we built in the VCR with the TV. I was like, this is it. We done it.
We did it.
This is the best we can ever do.
And then they said, hey, you check out this iPhone.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're saying. From the 832, I won the Power Rangers movie on VHS when I was a kid. And so if you win something, it just takes on an outsized value to what it actually has.
So much better.
Like that hat that you won at B-Dubs, like it was a cool hat. Mm-hmm. It's probably like $30. But if you want it, you're like, hell yeah, this is my hat.
And you want it from the KNC Masterpiece.
That's a good point.
Like, that's a big deal. B-Dubs is a big place.
I won $7,000 from the 469 at the Stars 50-50 raffle. And I only put in $10. I've always wanted to know the people who won that. I think it's super cool. And a bunch of money goes to charity, too. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, inspired by an NFL pair of Hall of Famers. It's Gridiron Gravy. Would you jump through a table if the Cowboys won the Super Bowl? Next on The Fan.
Allen back to pass, has time, and he's got Curtis Samuel wide open at the 33. Cuts it back inside at the 20, puts on the Jets, gets away, 5, touchdown! Curtis Samuel goes all the way!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It's a shout-out Friday from the 940. Can I get a shout-out to my beautiful wife, Ashley? She surprised me with a custom Deadpool-themed Desert Eagle.
Awesome.
Yesterday, so shout-out to her for
that. How cool
would
it be to have an eagle from the desert?
That might be something different than you think.
All right.
From the 214, shout-out to you guys for being amazing every day. Then they said y'all got me hyped up for my fight yesterday, too. I want to point out, we did not encourage anybody to go get in a fight yesterday because of AM on the FM.
What did we do? I think what we're encouraging people today from the 469, a real heist for the attention of the Avengers is all I'm saying. That's the
I do not support
that's
this.
Probably not the kind of heist you want to do. All right. Mm-hmm. If the Avengers get involved, I feel like it's probably you're probably going to be hurt. All right. You want to get away with something. All right.
And you're going to lose. Yeah. Right now. Let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go.
Now we go back to Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll will turn 74 in September and will be the oldest coach in NFL history now that he's with the Raiders. The previous oldest, was Romeo Crennel. He was an interim head coach in 2020. He was 73. George Halas continued to coach the Bears until he was 72 years old and 10 months. And so now Pete Carroll will take the record for being the oldest head coach in the league.
That is impressive for him.
Is that the coach you want?
If you can still communicate, and I don't mean like you can talk, but if you can still communicate your message and you can get people behind you, then yes.
Okay.
And ultimately, Pete Carroll isn't the guy that's running around calling plays. He's the coach he's there for culture. He's there for personality. He's there to, you know, keep an eye on everything. And that's what his job is really to do. So, yeah, I'm okay with that. And he looks like he's in relatively good health. He would be one of those candidates, Kevin, that you would be kind of afraid of because of how healthy he is.
Okay.
You'd be like, hey, please stop releasing all your health information because everybody's going to vote for you.
Okay. All right. I got what you're saying. All right. Let's go from that to quick personnel update. Taylor Rapp will be out for the Bills on Sunday. But what I wanted to talk about more so with the Bills is Thurman Thomas has said that he will jump through a table if the Bills win the Super Bowl, and Jim Kelly will too.
Okay.
Now, Thurman Thomas went on to say,
I feel a little more concerned for Jim here.
He's had a lot
of cancer.
That's true. You never hear it as a lot of cancer, but I think you're right about that. So Thurman Thomas said, I might jump through 3 or 4 tables, and he's 58. So I think I know the answer, but would you jump through a table if the Cowboys won a Super Bowl? And every now and again, the Bills fans set that table on fire. Would you still do that if the Cowboys won the Super Bowl?
From how high? Top of like a van or something?
Top of a van.
Right.
No higher than that.
1,000%.
Okay.
Dude, yes. The table industry should be out of business if your team wins a Super Bowl and that's the plan. If you're Buffalo, all the tables should be sold out at Walmart up there. No tables should be around.
Do you get to the point where, like, I know this is a weird sentence I'm about to say, but if you're in the Bills Mafia, you've been jumping through tables for years and years. If you make it back to the Super Bowl, or if you win the Super Bowl, do you up the degree of table challenge?
Two tables.
Not necessarily from a height perspective either. But you're like, hey, Steve's family left him. Let's go get his nice dining room table. And let's see if we can really go through that thing.
Okay.
Steve only needs food for one now.
Yeah. I like this idea. As a matter of fact, if you're Washington, if you're the Commanders, this is the first one in a long time.
True.
Instead of a table, do you just go ask the president, can I borrow your desk?
Mm.
I mean, you're trying to ramp it up, Kevin.
Why don't we
ramp it up to this?
I saw President Trump at a UFC event just a couple months ago.
He's in on that?
If there was going to be a president, to be fair, I don't know the personalities, like the first 36-ish presidents, but if you were going to get a president who's like, let's do this, I think this might be the one.
Yeah. Again, you set a really nice table. I feel like those tables are kind of difficult to get through, though.
I know, but that's the point. Like, you won the Super Bowl. Don't half-ass it. Up your game for this.
This is a good point. I like it.
All right. For the Cowboys, not only did they lose John Fossil, but Raina Stewart, the assistant special teams coach, is following John Fossil to Tennessee. Can't say that's the most surprising thing that you've heard. This is also not surprising. It just really sucks because we really like this guy, and he's been a very good player. Trayvon Diggs did officially have his surgery yesterday on his left knee, and recovery could keep him out of parts of training camp per Todd Archer, and he said, according to multiple sources. Well, one of those sources should be us, because we straight up asked Stephen Jones about that when he got hurt, and he goes, yeah, this feels like the kind of injury that will have him miss time in training camp.
Yeah, that was definitely with us when that happened, and that's frustrating because we feel like 3 years since we've actually seen him play.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, pretty much. And you can't help but wonder what kind of carryover effect this is going to have into the season, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's not going to be right. I honestly don't know how he trains, like whenever he's going through these rehab processes. I don't know if he's one of those that pushes himself, does exactly what they're asking. Yeah, I don't know exactly how he approaches this, but it doesn't feel like whenever I saw him get back on the field this year, I didn't feel like I saw the same speed. I feel like I saw somebody who was just a little bit of a step slower, and that's kind of frustrating because of where he is.
Man.
He's supposed to be the elite.
If you want to hear the sadness and desperation from a human, I'm only going to read part of this. This is Mark Andrews, his kind of like first statement since the drop on the 2-point conversion. Quote, it's impossible to adequately express how I feel. I'm absolutely gutted by what happened on Sunday. I'm devastated for my teammates, my coaches, and Ravens fans. I pour every ounce of my being into playing at the highest level possible because I love my team and the game of football like nothing else. You feel heartbroken for the guy because you could see it when it happened. And then you heard some people are like, giving him death threats. And you're like, do you think he did that on purpose? Do you think he's like, I'm going to push this ball down the ground because that's going to be great for my life and career? That I don't understand. You probably shouldn't be having death threats with people to begin with, but definitely not because they dropped the 2-point conversion pass.
Yeah. Anybody that did a death threat, like that's, come on.
Absurd.
These are real people we're talking about here.
And he did go out of his way to also say, I've seen heartfelt love and encouragement, including from those who have generously donated to the Breakthrough T1D organization. Because so it's like TD, but there's the one in there because obviously it deals with diabetes and stuff like that. Even the moment when it seems darkest, perspective can reveal that there's still a lot of light in the world. I'm going to do my part to bounce back and contribute to it. Like, that's a damn fine statement right there.
Yeah,
I know I skipped over.
He's a class act, dude. He is a class act all the way. I love the what he put out. I hope that he makes the catch next time. You know,
yes.
Like, and the thing about it is a lot. This is very similar to Nelson Cruz. A lot of the times, when it comes to that team, you wouldn't be where you are without Mark Andrews.
Yeah,
like you wouldn't even get to that point if he wasn't on the field.
Now, this next part has a couple of different components, and it's kind of complicated, and you've already seen NFL insiders arguing about this on social media. So I'm going to go to somebody who might not be a real person to start with, in Dove Kleiman. Since 2021, the tweet says, the Chiefs have had zero playoff games with more penalties than their opponents. Games with fewer penalties, 10. Games with more penalties, 0. The most disciplined team in the NFL. All right.
Yes, they are.
I'm not disputing that, but that is the exact same evidence that people will use to say the referees are biased against the Chiefs. And also, you need clarification about total penalties or accepted penalties, because the story can change depending on which number you use. Like, if the Chiefs got whistled for like 4 more penalties, but they were all in advantageous situations already for the team they were going up against, and they declined them all, then does that mean the Chiefs were getting favorable calls, or just their penalties didn't really make an impact? And so why in the world would you take it?
That is a good thought on is your team disciplined or not, or do they just not get the penalties?
Yes.
Like, is that,
or the penalties happen where you're like, I don't need that call.
Yeah.
I'm going to say
the Chiefs are very disciplined. They're a very focused team.
Look, and that is tough to argue with, especially because Patrick Mahomes has won 8 straight playoff games. That broke a tie with Troy Aikman, John Elway, Joe Montana, and Terry Bradshaw for the 3rd longest quarterback winning streak in postseason history. Maybe more daunting, he is the absolute opposite of the Cowboys in the divisional round. Patrick Mahomes.
Of recent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes is 7-0 in the divisional round. So while that's always, at best, the stopping point for the Cowboys,
good God,
he is automatic in that game. And that's why he's now in 7 straight AFC championship games.
Yeah, that when you see that and you're like,
it's unbelievable.
I didn't believe it. When Mike said it, I didn't believe that he had been to 7 straight. And I was like, whatever. And I went and looked and was like, holy crap. All this dude does is get to this game, at least.
And that's not even the record. Because Brady, I think, made it to 8 straight. And so that's who he's chasing.
So he's got some goals.
Yeah, like, I get it. They're playing the Bills, and then they're going to play the Eagles or the Commanders. And he's going to say all the right things and do all the right things. But surely in the back of his mind, he's like, I'm playing against Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think whenever he gets home in his training, that's when he's thinking about that stuff. Whenever he's on the field, he's a different animal, man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what's the Super Bowl you are rooting for? And then, what's the Super Bowl you're predicting we're going to get? 877-881-1053. Let's do that next right here on The Fan.